The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. If you're listening, if you're watching on YouTube, it is Monday, December 27th. I didn't even believe my phone when I looked down, rolling right through the month of December. If you're watching on YouTube, of course, we do live after all primetime games. No more Thursday now. Think was that the last Monday breach, or do we have one more?
It was not the last Monday because we have the Ben Roethlisberger retirement tour next Monday.
We are here. That's right. Oh boy, that'll be a juicy one. You're gonna want to subscribe and get alerts so you can come join us as Breach dances on Wilson's Big Ben grave,
or we see Wilson shed 30 minutes of tears as he sobs over Big Ben's career and the two Super Bowl wins. Bag Ben.
And by the way, this is also, I believe it's the Josh Leggett revenge tours tonight, because Josh has been in the chat telling me the Dolphins would win for 2 days. Dolphins won. We'll get to that game in a minute. If you're listening to the podcast, it is probably Tuesday, December 28th. Hit that five-star review or five-star rating on Spotify. They just added ratings. If you're listening on Spotify, help us out and throw that five-star rating on there. We greatly appreciate it. We're going to get to the game in a minute, so don't get all big mad that we're not talking about what is a 20-3 Dolphins win over the Saints that probably goes down as a
loss.
Top five worst primetime game you've ever watched?
Ever or this year?
Well,
ever.
I mean, right. If you consider the fact that 25 people are out for the Saints, it was pretty good watching a bunch of fans that won tickets to play a football game tonight. They didn't do as bad as I thought they'd do for the Saints.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Wilson. It could have been uglier, Brinson.
I mean, people playing left tackle that literally were signed 2 days ago to the practice squad and immediately elevated to the active roster. They had dudes that hadn't played. Their
quarterback was Blake Bortles.
Maybe that game was in the preseason. I'm trying to think. There was a Titans-Jets game that was one of the – I just remember just on a Monday Night Football, and maybe it was like 2015 or something like that. It was either 2016 or 2015. God, it was so bad. I don't think that was up there. It was like – it was 30-8. Jets won maybe. Is that it? 2015?
Wait, anyway, you're going back? I don't even think you have to go past this season to find
– You got one from week 15? Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, there's been a couple that have been absolute duds. I don't even think this is my bottom three, I'll be honest. I mean, last night, Dallas 56-14 over Washington.
That was at least fun. I'd much rather see
I like a bunch of scores.
Here's much rather see a beatdown than like a...
Right. The fun fact from that Washington game, Breach.
Yeah.
Football team had 7 punts. Cowboys had 8 touchdowns.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that I feel like the Saints have been in some of the worst primetime games of the year as far as watchability. You know, I feel like everybody enjoyed hate watching and watching Tom Brady get shut out. But if you take out the Tom Brady factor, that 9-0 game was not that great of a game. The Thanksgiving game against the Bills was one of the worst primetime games of the year. That was 31-6. At least this one was closer, longer. So maybe let's just keep the Saints out of primetime until they find a new quarterback, because that's at least 3 games that were almost unbearable to watch.
Some folks in the comments are talking about the Bills Pats.
I like weird circumstances like that.
Yeah, 700-mile-an-hour winds. Yeah. Half hurricane, half tornado. I'm all about watching game in that weather.
It wasn't great football. I mean, people talking about great defense and all that. I mean,
yeah, but you saw a team run it 47 times. I mean, that's always fun. I agree with Princeton that weird things are fun. Yeah,
you guys.
All right, well, our producer, Devo, maybe you've heard of him. By the way, smash that like button. I don't know if we're. Oh, and we will be live after primetime games too. So that's going to be fun. I mean, primetime games after playoff games. So that will be exciting. To recap the playoff games after they happen.
My agent said that I don't have to do those. So this is my season finale.
Actually, I talked to your wife. She said you can do it. I muted my turned down.
Muted yourself.
So the Dolphins are now, if the season ended at this very moment, if Thanos snapped his fingers, spoiler alert, sorry, Wilson, and the season ended right now, the Dolphins would be the 7th seed in the AFC.
It's insane.
They just ripped off their first 7-game winning streak since 1985. Dan Marino, of course, in New Orleans for this game. He was involved in that. And they are 8-7 after a 1-7 start. Debo is licking his friggin' chops for a top 5 pick from the Dolphins just 7 weeks ago. And now there's a chance you get the 32nd pick, Debo. I mean, technically, I don't know what to make. Baltimore's now out. The Chargers were already out.
Was Baltimore the 8th seed? I was trying to figure out the 7th seed coming into the night.
Yes.
Oh, they were? Good Lord. I'd already written them off. Okay. I was trying to figure out who dropped out.
Baltimore dropped out because of their crappy record against AFC teams.
So the 13th seed Denver, and there's only 2 weeks left. So there's, you know, take this for what it's worth, but the 13th seed Denver is separated by just 2 games from the 3 seed Cincinnati. You know, you're not going to get a chain of events that unfolds so much so that you go from 7-8 to in the playoffs, more than likely. But this is a massive game for playoff implications. Miami's playoff chances only went up 5% according to our sportsline.com simulations. I'm sure that I will be accused of being an anti-Dolphins or Dolphins hater by pointing that out.
You called them frauds.
I don't think that tonight necessarily changes that opinion, but that's okay. They've won 7 games in a row. That's
the first team to go 1-7 and then win, or just to lose 7 straight or whatever, and then turn around and win 7 in a row.
The first team to have a 7-game winning streak and a 7-game losing streak in the same season.
Yeah, there it is.
There we go, Wilson.
Team has never made the playoffs. Until this year.
The Saints saw their playoff chances go from 40.2% down to 30.7%. So it's pretty crazy. The Saints actually have a better chance of making the playoffs.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you think is more likely to make
the playoffs? Well, we'll get to the NFC in a second, then we can answer that question.
Well, you can answer it. It's a pretty simple question. Yes or no, we can move on.
I mean, the Dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. All right, go ahead. Hey, keep really? Going. Yeah, no one thinks the Saints. Oh, my God. You think
did you see Ian Book? They have no chance.
He's not playing this week.
Read the book, Brinson.
You read the wrong book. All right. What do you want to talk about that you couldn't answer one word? Give me a one-word answer to that question.
Jeez Louise, so hostile. By the way, Miami, the one knock on them in terms of their resume with the teams above them doesn't matter quite as much as the teams below them is that conference record. They do have a better conference record than Baltimore. Same conference record as the Chargers. So, I mean, they're in good shape in terms of keeping the teams below them at bay.
Why are they only 19% then?
Because of their remaining schedule. Yes. Because our simulation doesn't think they have a chance of going 2-0, probably not even 1-1, because they close in Nashville against the Tennessee Titans, and then they turn around and play the New England Patriots in the final week.
They don't have a good chance of keeping the teams behind them at bay. That's why I was asking that question.
Well, I mean, if they win one of those, then the other teams have to go 2-0, and that's not a guarantee. So it's not, you know, the Ravens have 2 tough games with the Rams and the Steelers. So,
oh, please.
And look, let me clarify. When I say the Dolphins are a fraud, I don't mean that the Dolphins are a bottom 5 football team. What I mean is the Dolphins have ripped off wins against a pretty easy schedule, and that I am not entirely convinced that if their offense goes up against I don't think they can score a bunch of points against a good defense.
Their defense is playing really well.
Their defense is very good. Listen, they don't score a bunch of points against anyone. Their offense only scored 13 points in this game.
That's sort of my point. But look, they won the game easily and handily. Let me help you make your point, Brinson.
You're saying that this team has won seven straight games. They've beat Tyrod Taylor, Joe Flacco, a combination of Cam Newton and PJ Walker, Mike Glennon, your boy Brinson, Zach Wilson, Ian Book. And then, of course, you throw in Lamar Jackson. He's the one outlier, the good quarterback that he is, that they've beaten. But besides that, you know, this is, you would hope that most teams would win these games. These are games you have to win if you're going to make the playoffs.
I hosted the pregame show leading up to the game on CBS Sports HQ. Charles Davis came on, and he made the point, you know, because I asked him, I was like, you know, what's going on in this winning streak? And his number one argument was leadership and Brian Flores. And he noted that, you know, you can say that they haven't played anybody, but we just saw the Chargers lose to the Texans. The Bills lost to the Jaguars. You know, the Titans lost to the Jets and the Texans. There's myriad examples of good team. The Cardinals lost to the Lions. You can say, oh, that's a free win, but I'm just not sure that that exists in the NFL. I mean, the question is, when we're talking about the Dolphins, are we talking about them as a contender to get to the playoffs or a contender to make noise in the playoffs? And I understand anyone can win once you get in, but you know, I think there's a difference.
Here's the thing. I'm not crapping on the notion that this team has won seven games in a row. I mean, Breach read off the list of quarterbacks that they beat. Well, there are good teams that didn't beat those quarterbacks, including the Titans, including the Bengals. Who are the other teams that lost to good teams, Breach? Oh, the freaking Bills. I mean, They should be kicked out of the league if they scored 6 points against the Jaguars team led by Urban Meyer. But I mean,
here's how the Dolphins can clinch a playoff berth: by winning out.
Well, Brinson, I think the thing that sums up how crazy the AFC playoffs are right now, because you mentioned Denver is only two games behind the Bengals, and that separates the 13 seed and the 3 seed, which is crazy. But I think another thing that sums it up is that the 10th seed in the AFC controls its own fate. That is the Raiders. If the Raiders win out, they're in the playoffs. You almost never see that with a 10 seed, that they can control anything. But usually they need like seven other things to happen, or they need someone to lose, or they need this to happen or that to happen. The Raiders don't need any of that. If the Raiders win their last two games, they're in the playoffs. And those two games are against the Colts and Chargers. So two teams above them.
Would you rather be the Raiders or the Dolphins?
I think if I had to bet money on either the Dolphins winning out or the Raiders winning out,
yeah,
and I didn't have a choice. I have to bet on one of them. I think I would probably take the Raiders.
Really?
I just think that the Colts have a bunch of COVID issues, and so that feels like, you know, I don't think the Raiders are going to win, but it just, the door is slightly open. And then the Chargers is a team they've played, you know, it's a divisional rival and they played well against.
So you're saying basically you take the Raiders among all the 8-7 teams: Miami, Baltimore, LA, Chargers, and Vegas?
No, you're asking me who I thought has a better chance of winning out of those two teams.
Yeah, but if you're saying Vegas is going to be the Chargers next week or whenever they play, then that, I can't imagine. And you said, you know, 3 weeks ago, the Baltimore is going to miss the playoffs. So,
well, no, because I don't think the Raiders are going to beat the Colts, and that could change like what games have meaning in week 18. And
all right. So among
my
Miami,
line of thinking,
Miami and Vegas, you're taking Vegas. Among Miami, Baltimore, Chargers, and Vegas, who are you taking? All the 8-7 teams, as we sit here. Only one. Life's on the line.
Probably the Chargers.
Okay. Even though they're going to lose to the Raiders potentially?
Well, I think they're going to beat the Broncos. And if the Raiders lose, then the Raiders will probably just be playing a spoiler role in week 18. And the Chargers will be in a spot where if they win, they're in. And so that changes the dynamic of that game. But if the Raiders beat the Colts and the Chargers beat the Broncos, and all of a sudden that's a playoff spot on the line in week 18, that changes the dynamic of the game. So there's a lot that goes into it.
So I just ran through very quickly. What I wanted to see was, yeah, the playoff machine on ESPN. What I wanted to see was, is there a path, and there is, where the wild cards in the AFC are the Raiders, Colts, and Dolphins, which if you told somebody that, and the Raiders could get to the 5 seed, if you told somebody that a few weeks ago, they would have called you crazy. Essentially,
Raiders, Colts, Dolphins, that what you said?
Yeah, that would be pretty insane. If the Raiders were the 5 seed, Colts were 6, and Miami were 7, all 3 10-7. So let's say that the Raiders beat the Colts, and that's how you get the Raiders above the Colts as the 5 seed. The Pats beat this is week 17, of course. The Pats beat the Jaguars, and the Dolphins beat the Titans. Okay. And then I just went through and picked random teams for every other game. Just kind of slapped something up there. Then in week 18, the Colts beat the Jaguars, which seems pretty reasonable. And the Raiders beat the Chargers at home, which is not outrageous at all, right?
We just talked about it moments ago.
Yeah, I think it's outrageous. Too outrageous.
It could potentially set up a situation where the Dolphins and Patriots are playing for, it's like loser is literally out of the playoffs. And we don't know what, you know, we don't know what exactly time these games will be. They'll be shifted around and all that. Presumably the Raiders and Chargers and Dolphins and Pats game would be at the same time. Same thing for the Colts because of the implications. But I mean, that's pretty insane that that could all shake out. That's not even an implausible situation. The game is in Miami. We've seen the Patriots lose that a ton.
And it's not insane to think.
Like, I just,
they've lost two in a row. You know, they've got some issues right now they've got to work through.
Well, the funny thing is you're actually only replacing New England with Las Vegas in that scenario in terms of the teams that are in the playoffs.
Right. Well, I'm just saying that the simulation that I just ran through, and then when I clicked everything else, it has Kansas City is the one, Tennessee is the two, Buffalo is the three, Cleveland is the four, because I gave them.
Yeah, where are the Bengals?
Why would you have to do that, Brenton?
They lost to I had the Bengals losing.
Oh, you hate
to the Chiefs and then losing to the Browns, and they just missed the playoffs.
Oh, what? That is terrible. I hope that doesn't happen, Breach.
No, you don't. We know you don't hope that
I probably missed something in here to screw up the stuff, but whatever.
Bengals, what's crazy is that the way the AFC is set up. You could have the AFC North winner, whether it's the Bengals, Ravens, or Browns, finish 9-8, and then have, I think,
you can have all three wild cards.
No. You can have two 10-7 teams miss the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. That is correct, I think.
And
yeah.
By the way, if the Steelers win out and the Bengals lose out, the Steelers win the AFC North.
Oh, that's what I was trying to tell you last night, and you just weren't listening because you thought I was gloating. And I said secretly, I've been watching the Bengals for my whole life, and there is nothing more likely now than them losing the Chiefs and then losing in week 18 and not getting in the playoffs. I don't even want to think about it now. See where you got my head going, Wilson? This is what you're doing. You're psyching me out.
You ever think, Breach, that maybe you're the problem? Ever since you've been born, the Bengals have been cursed?
I mean, their playoff losing streak started on my birthday in 1991, so it's definitely
and a plausible theory. There you have it.
Definitely a plausible theory against the Raiders.
Hit that like button. I mean, the AFC is just absolutely fascinating.
It's fun. And,
yeah. I mean, in terms of where you could go,
I prefer the AFC version over the NFC version in that if, like Breach mentioned, some 10-7 teams don't make the playoffs, that sinks for them. But at least we're not getting some 6-win teams in the playoffs because you don't have any choice of who's left over.
It stinks when you're a 10-7 team that misses the playoffs when a 9-8 team got it. That's the stinky part.
Yeah, and we can have that conversation for sure. But at least you're not getting terrible football teams in that just because you're run out of extra slots but not enough teams.
I mean, I'm fine with it. If a 10-7 team misses and a 9-8 team wins the division and gets in, again, we've talked about how hard the schedules were for the Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and Steelers to close out the season. It's not like, you know, they were just a bad football team. They had really tough schedules.
And I'm okay with a team winning a division with a worse record than a team that doesn't make it who finished second in their division. Now, I don't like a 10-win team not making it and then a 7-win team winning the division and getting in. That's a different
kind. You mean like the NFC East in like three of the past 8 years?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Or the NFC South when the Panthers went like 5-11.
Or, 7-8-1 got in 1 year. 7-9 got in with the Seahawks 1 year.
All right. Hit that like button. And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will talk about the NFC playoff race and maybe even mention this Dolphins-Saints game that happened on Monday night.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon.
Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's
the
butterfly effect for
real. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
You know what, Paramount, you know what's awesome? Paramount Plus. Did I mention that? Podcast listeners wouldn't have seen the advertisement that just ran on the YouTube channel, but it was for the Reno 911 special, which got Ryan Wilson feeling pretty frisky.
Indeed.
Okay, you didn't want to talk about it. Cool.
Ryan loves Reno 911. You know what I watched on Paramount Plus with my 20-month-old daughter?
The Search for QAnon? Reno 911 movie?
She doesn't understand that, but we did watch it.
It's a Search for Peeing, but yes.
Really? Because yeah. She pees her pants all the time, so it makes sense.
What'd you watch?
Well, I'm not telling you now. Now you just get to hang out in suspense and never know. Quit for the Big Red Dog.
Oh, how was that?
It was okay. You know, with kids' movies, you never know. You're just going to sit there and be totally bored. It was enough that, like, I didn't want to shut it off.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're a parent watching a kids' movie, you just want to either be able to sit there in peace or fall asleep and not have your kid poke you and wake you up.
Right. So either they need to be entertained or you have to be, like, 1% entertained.
Mm-hmm. All right, two thumbs up for Clifford the Red Dog, John Breach.
Okay.
Two paws up.
Let's get to the Paramount Plus is it's awesome. It's a mountain of entertainment. Let's get to the NFC playoff race. As we discussed on Sunday night's recap show, of course, five teams have clinched a playoff spot. The loss by the Saints on Monday night moves them down to the 10 seed behind, well, tied with, but technically behind the Vikings. And somehow,
I don't know,
the still alive Atlanta Falcons. If Atlanta sneaks in the playoffs, then I have a problem with the playoff system.
The Atlanta should be the Bengals or the Lions or the Jags because they're a cat team. They have nine lives. Like, you just, every time you think they're dead, boom, they're back for more. And we keep talking about them every week and we keep making the same chuckle that Brinson just made. Like, how are they still alive? You don't even believe what you're reading. That's how improbable it is. Yet here we are with the Falcons still alive.
Oh, quick update, by the way.
Oh boy.
It's a good update. Debo says the hats have been shipped.
Oh, what? Thank goodness.
The Brinson Sucks hats have been shipped. Smash a like button if you love Debo taking care of biz.
Good job, Debo.
Yeah, I sent out about a dozen today, and the guy at FedEx was really disappointed to see me walk up with 12 packages that said, it's like, what's in these? I was just like, oh, Brinson Sucks hats? He's like, oh, of course.
He was wearing one, oddly enough.
Yeah. So 12, can I have one? 12 have been sent out. Nice. We have three regular caps and 10 beanies remaining. So there's still more hat giveaways to come.
I hope you sent Josh Leggett a beanie to the Cayman Islands to make him wear a freaking knit hat. Enjoy the Dolphins down there, buddy.
All right. I got a quick question about the Falcons. Don't look at the too far on the right side of the screen. I don't know if it's on there or not, but
is it the conference record?
No. I'm going to give you a number.
Okay.
Minus 85 Falcons point differential above, over, under.
Minus 85? That's point such a hugely low number that I feel like it's clearly.
Is it low?
Well, is over is closer to zero. Under is.
So I'll give you some.
I'm going to say it's closer to negative 100 than it is to zero.
Okay. No,
which one is over? Which one's under? Because technically.
So Panthers is minus 68. That's.
No, I'm saying what is over and what is under.
Under is closer to zero.
See, I would have gone the other way. I will say over.
All right. So, Breach, you said over as well?
Yeah.
And point of reference, Carolina Panthers minus 68 this year. Detroit Lions minus 127. Atlanta Falcons minus 122.
Minus 122.
That is Unbelievable.
And that might be, that is second in the conference behind the aforementioned Falcons, the Lions.
It's behind the Jets, Houston, and Jacksonville as well.
Yeah, and they have some astronomical numbers those 3 teams.
Minus 179.
Sweet mercy. But anyway, the point is that those 3 teams we just talked about stink. The Falcons somehow have 7 wins, which is, again, mind-boggling.
You know what's funny is that Ty Schalter over at 538 actually wrote something called "Are the Falcons the Best Bad Team Ever?" And it was looking at any team since the merger in 1970 that had a point differential of negative 100 or higher, you know, 101, 102. I don't know what you saw there. And then there literally have only been 4 other teams since the merger that have pulled this off, winning at least 7 games with that point differential. It is the 2011 Chiefs, 2018 Dolphins, 2006 49ers, 1995 Rams, and the 2021 Falcons.
Read that list again. Sorry, hold on. The 95 Rams. I'm just trying to think of these teams. 95 Rams.
95 Rams.
Who else?
The 2006 49ers.
Oh my gosh. So
2011 Chiefs.
Oh, that was the Todd Haley, Jamal Charles, Matt Castle team.
Right.
Remember Matt Castle made the Pro Bowl. They had the easiest schedule on the planet. And then they went to, did they get blasted in the playoffs? They almost beat the Ravens in the playoffs. Right? Am I misremembering, Matt?
I don't know. So I'm looking through the Falcons schedule and it is absolutely hilarious. Of their 7 wins, how many of those wins were more than 1 score of the 7 wins?
Well, I'm guessing not many since their point differential is so crappy.
Well, I need to know.
It's more than one. I think it's 3 and they're against really bad teams.
Well, what do you want to say, Breach?
I'll say 2.
The correct answer is 0.
Oh, wow.
They won 1 game by 8 points. The rest were well below that. And you can see their losses here, all blowouts. Like they're losing.
But look at the teams they beat. The Giants, the Jets, the Dolphins are technically a good win now.
Yeah, watch yourself.
Saints, a worse win now. The Jaguars, the Panthers, and the Lions.
They have 2 2-win games, at least 2 3-win games as I'm going through this fast. And then just getting absolutely demolished when they don't win the football game. Yeah.
When they play a good team, they get thrashed.
That's why I bet on the Bills this weekend.
Should be pretty interesting against Buffalo.
No, it should be not interesting.
Someone in the comments mentioned, the point differential will be minus 150 by Sunday evening.
Exactly. They're going to get.
So we all agree the Falcons are out, it seems like.
I think the playoffs are set in the East, NFC, excuse me. Debo's little playoff dance worked out.
I do think the one thing that can...
Please do not say Minnesota.
No. The one thing that can derail the Eagles is it's on the road against Washington, who they stink. Don't get me wrong. But maybe Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen come back angry at somebody else this time. Slow down the Eagles' run game. And I mean, Washington can beat the Eagles. The Eagles are not that good of a team.
I thought they could beat the Cowboys, and both times they
Cowboys are a top tier team. The Eagles.
We had questions about the Cowboys in recent.
We were wrong.
The Eagles spotted Washington 10 points when they played, and still won by double digits.
I'm not saying that the Washington should be favored or will definitely win.
Well, who do you have being the 7th seed at the end of this thing? Then
I don't think. The issue for the Eagles, I think, is that Dallas is going to be competing for the 1 seed. Yeah. And or, you know, I think the 2 seed matters because Jerry Jones likes home games in the playoffs, and who doesn't?
So, Brenton, if they go 1-1 and go 9-8, that means the Vikings or the Falcons or the Saints would have to go 2-0 just to be in the conversation.
Right.
Think the Vikings, Falcons, or Saints are going to go 2-0?
I think that's what I'm trying to run, Brenton, is because in my mind, you know, I'd like them to win 2 games, but I'm very realistic in the fact that they could definitely and probably will lose that week 18 game. So I'm running scenarios where they go 1-1. And then what happens with these other teams? Green Bay has to beat Minnesota on Sunday night, which I think will happen and definitely can happen. New Orleans, despite how bad they looked, we don't know their situation with COVID heading into next week. they can beat the Falcons and Panthers in the final 2 weeks to finish 9-8 and then cause a three-way tie.
Well, here's the thing. If they lose to the Falcons, it'll be a one-score game. We know that. So,
and Philly has a win over New Orleans, but a loss to San Francisco.
Well, and New Orleans and Atlanta play each other. So one of those teams is out. The loser of that game's out. So now you're down to Philly.
Well, who does Atlanta
Minnesota,
play?
And one of those two teams.
Who does Atlanta play in week 18 should they win this game next week against the Saints?
The Falcons.
No, they play Buffalo this week. Then
the they're out. Okay.
Then they
okay.
play the then they
All right. See, the Falcons are out.
Falcons are out.
The Falcons' best case is.
I think the Saints are the only one of those three that has a chance to win out, which is crazy to say after what we watched tonight.
Right. So I think Debo, I don't know what Stephen O at Sportsline has, but I would say the Eagles' chance of making the playoffs feels like around 50% or better.
And I think it's higher. It's got to be higher now.
And that's hugely conservative on my part is what I was going to say. Because I don't, I mean, these
Well,
other
and
teams,
I think the 49ers actually the odd one out if it's a three-way tie between the Saints, Eagles, and 49ers.
That's correct.
So that puts the Eagles
in is that based on conference record?
Eagles have a better conference record, 6-4 versus 6-5 first in San Fran, looking at the chart there.
Why would
if San Francisco ends up losing to the Rams in week 18, I think that's a scenario where conference record would come into play and Philly and Atlanta, or I'm sorry, New Orleans would get the edge. Is there a path to the 7th seed only having 8 wins?
Yes, that is correct. If all 3-9-8, it is New Orleans and Philly.
So 8-9. I guess Atlanta and New Orleans can't lose out both because they play each other. But that'll get one of those teams.
I don't think Atlanta needs to be in. If they beat, let's hold off on putting Atlanta in the discussion from a math perspective until they beat Buffalo.
I'm holding off on putting them on
fair.
Any discussion.
I mean, if they go beat Buffalo, then all of a sudden everything changes.
Well, yes, if they go undefeated for the rest of the year, they'll win the Super Bowl. But I don't think that's going to happen. They're not beating Buffalo, is my point.
Well, if the Eagles don't win anymore, so they go 8-9, then the Buffalo game doesn't matter because the Falcons and Saints, one of them is going 8-9 because one of them has to win that game. So,
but then put, say Washington gets a little frisky, like Brinson said, they beat the Eagles and they have the Giants in week 18 and all of a sudden they're 8-9.
Yeah, because if the Eagles go 8-9, then that means Washington won a game. I mean,
right.
They just got to beat the Giants. There's a lot of.
I would love for there to be some high drama, but I feel like Wilson said it at the beginning, and it's that this is probably the NFC playoff field, the current 7.
All right, let me give you this question. Would you rather you can take
would
either?
Would you rather
spin the bottle? Okay, you can either have Philadelphia making the playoffs, or you can have Miami and Las Vegas making the playoffs. Which team do you want? Miami or Las Vegas making the playoffs? In the AFC, it doesn't.
I don't really understand the question.
That's a Benson nightmare right there. Any of those teams,
Raiders, Eagles, and the Dolphins. I mean, hell,
you either get Miami or Vegas in the AFC, or you get Philadelphia. Which one do you feel more comfortable with taking? Like, you have two teams.
Oh, to win the Super Bowl. So if we pick that team,
just to make the playoffs, just to in 3 weeks, they'll be the
okay.
Because you Eagles. Get two of Miami, you get two teams in the AFC, or one team,
or you get the Eagles.
I'm taking the Eagles.
Yeah, so do you want Miami or Miami and Vegas, or do you want Philadelphia?
I mean, there's probably somebody smarter than me could run the math on that. Like, there's a plus EV move, which is take the two teams. But
well, that's what I'm trying. I'm trying to get it pretty even.
It feels like Philly's going to get to 9 wins,
right? I think,
and then have a chance at if Green Bay wins, and this is where it's sort of so if Green Bay beats the Vikings, they're 13-3. Let's say the Cowboys beat the Cardinals, they're at 12-4. The Eagles beat Washington, they're at 9-7. At that point, Minnesota's done because they lost to the Packers. And it's pretty likely that Dallas is yanking their starters at halftime of the Eagles-Cowboys game in week 18 if Green Bay is capable of having a double-digit lead against the Lions.
And you know how the NFL avoids that? By having them play in different time slots. Put the Cowboys at 1 and the Packers at 4.
Entirely possible.
But what about that second round divisional round home field advantage? That could still be in play for Dallas, right?
Yeah, I mean, Dallas will want the 2 seed for sure.
Right. So I think Debo's point is that they may not rest people.
Yeah, I don't think we can definitively say at this point who will do. Like, I think Tampa Bay, for instance, will be perfectly content keeping Mike Evans off the field the rest of the year to ensure that he is as healthy as possible going into the playoffs. They don't have Chris Godwin. I don't think they'll play Gronk. They have O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate.
Also,
the thing about getting the second home game, though, is I think don't the second and third seed, they're both guaranteed a divisional round home game if they win their game, obviously, in the wild card round.
No, because the Packers would have a home game and then the second seed would have a home game.
Well, right. The Packers home game. Oh, yeah, because there's only two. Duh.
Only so, two. Yeah,
right, four right, teams right. would be so left. The two seed is guaranteed two home games as long as they win.
So, yeah, the second seed does matter. Especially
quickly, Breach interrupted me as I was making a point about the Tampa Bay injuries you were talking about. Shaq Barrett has a MCL ACL strain. A strain is a tear, so he's torn his ACL. So I don't know how he's coming back in a few weeks. That's what they keep saying. So that's just something else to look out for. If he comes back with a partially torn ACL, I don't know if he's going to be as effective. So just something else to keep in mind when we're talking about all these injuries on these Buccaneers. What does Mike Evans have? A hamstring?
Yeah.
Because of COVID.
And he had a hamstring. I mean, one could argue that this is a very good time to get put on the COVID list if you're Mike Evans and likely missing the game anyway. I just think with Tampa Bay, they are locked into the four seed at worst. They're going to see how week 17 plays out and then sort of make a decision. They have the Jets and the Panthers. They're probably going to win both games anyway.
Who's that?
There's no real need to. You Tampa. Don't need to get Leonard Fournette and Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski 100% of the snaps in those games because, you know, if the Rams went out and Dallas wins out, you're in the same spot anyway, even if you win both games. I would just be surprised if they push the limits on the regular season having just won the Super Bowl coming from a wild card spot.
So they would face...
And McVay, we know, will sit everyone if it doesn't mean anything.
The great news is if Tampa Bay, even if they have the roster the Saints have, they play the Cardinals in the first round in Tampa Bay. So, you know, that feels...
Bruce Arians revenge game.
That's a team you probably want to face if you're Tampa Bay shorthanded or whatever.
Sure. Okay. So, do we want to talk about the game?
There was a game.
It was, I think, what was it, the second throw of the night for Ian Book was a pick six?
Yes.
Hey, it was a touchdown.
At least it wasn't his first one.
And you know what? He only threw one incomplete pass in the first half. Five completions to his players, one pick six, and one incompletion. Not bad.
Miami won the game 20-3. Ian Book was obviously terrible. 12 of 20, 135.
He got sacked eight times. The poor kid was running for his life.
Yeah. He was.
I have no idea if he's good or not.
You cannot discern anything about him from that game without his starting two tackles. Brian Flores sent the heat after him. He didn't get any calls. He got a helmet-to-helmet hit that wasn't...
People were angry that on fourth down, he ran out of bounds and didn't throw it away. And then the next time he threw it away, it was an interception. So that's what you get.
Then people were mad about that, too. Like, another pick!
Yeah. what do you want the kid to do? Yeah. I thought Tua, actually, other than that, the overthrow interception, he's getting better. Now, again, you can say he was playing a team that was decimated by injuries, not nearly as much as the offense in New Orleans. He's getting better. And, you know, we weren't, myself included, or myself primarily, wasn't big on Tua last year when they kept benching Ryan Fitzpatrick because it didn't make any sense to me. But he's played better this year. Jaylen Waddle, as you guys mentioned the other day, deserves to be in the rookie of the year conversation, offensive rookie of the year.
He's going to shatter Anquan Boldin's rookie reception number.
Tied it or something?
At seven, he was at 93. So I think he's at 96 now. And Boldin is either 101 or 103. And Waddle has two games left.
And he'll get it in fewer than 17 games, which is that way people...
It is weird. This is not a complaint. It's just interesting how they use Jaylen Waddle. It's very different than how Alabama used him. He's sort of an underneath, lower A-dot guy with 7 yards per target or something like that in this game. He's awesome. He's dynamic. I love Jaylen Waddle. And he's going to go down in history as probably one of the best rookie receivers ever. Oh, man. We got to bet that.
Sprinkle it. I'm literally looking at it right now to sprinkle.
If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it.
if you're listening to the podcast, Debo just tossed up 2021 Offensive Rookie of the Year award odds on Caesars. Mac Jones still minus 475.
$10 bet wins 1,000 on the odds on what is it, well, on Jamar, Caesars?
Jamar Chase 3.5 to 1 and Jalen Waddle 75 to 1. Look, Mac Jones is probably winning, but if the Patriots miss the playoffs, which is we just detailed is possible, not likely, but possible, then I don't think Mac Jones will win it.
Yeah, I don't know. What's his name? Just number 1 last year.
Yeah, but like if Mac limps to the close and the Pats miss the playoffs, I think people will dock him for that. Waddle at 75 to 1 is at least worth $10.
Yeah.
Throw an expensive cheeseburger on it.
I mean,
pay some money, as the kids say.
I'll tell you what. Give me $10. I'll give you 85 to 1 odds.
Really?
On Jalen Waddle. Yeah.
All right. Done deal.
I might do it.
I'm in on that.
Okay. I mean, if he sets this record and he's going to, you have to at least put him in the conversation. And so it's crazy. I don't think anybody thought Mac Jones was so far ahead of everyone 2 weeks ago. I don't think anyone thought he was going to crater like he has. And now they've lost 2 in a row. If they just go 1-1 and close losing 3 out of 4, they still make the playoffs. That still opens the door, I think, for Jamar Chase and Jalen Waddle.
Yep.
Oh, you just want to say Jamar Chase. I see.
But also, I mean, the Dolphins play the Patriots in week 18. If Jalen Waddle's a huge game against the Patriots defense.
And Mac Jones throws like 2 picks. Yeah. And Molly P asking the questions, when is the voting?
That's a good question.
It is due like 24 or 48 hours after the conclusion of the regular season.
So playoff games are not games included in consideration.
Correct. That's why you oftentimes see an MVP who could struggle in the playoffs. People are like, how could he win MVP? It's like, well, yeah, incredible regular season.
Also why MVPs don't win the Super Bowl usually. We have not seen an MVP win the Super Bowl since 1999. Hasn't happened once this century. And then after the vote, everything is announced, the NFL honors, which is the Thursday before the Super Bowl.
All right, I have Mac Jones preseason to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. We were doing this podcast when it was announced that Cam Newton was cut, I think, and I just threw some on Mac at like 10 to 1 or 11 to 1. I can't remember.
Definitely.
If I have that, I am hedging a little bit out with Jamar Chase. I'd like 5 to 1, but 3.5 to 1 will work. I'm definitely throwing a little bit on Jalen Waddle because you can, you know, for $10, you can easily cover your hedge. For 25, you can set yourself up where it's a big payday either way. I don't think Jamar Chase will steal it. I think Mac Jones will probably still win. But if he poops his pants down the stretch and Jalen Waddle breaks
the problem with begging against Mac Jones, and again, those numbers are worth enough to sprinkle on either Jamar Chase or Jalen Waddle. But the problem is that New England plays Jacksonville. And you have like that's a classic bounce back game where Mac Jones throws 3 touchdowns and the Patriots win by 17. And then we're back saying, oh, there's no way he can blow it now.
Yeah.
But who knows?
But I mean, if for some reason the Patriots stumble and Mac looks like crap against the Jaguars, all of a sudden those odds shift.
Right.
That's why you're hedging now. I wouldn't take Chase. I don't think I would take Chase now. I think I would take Waddle now. Just
so we were showing this tweet to each other, and CBS Sports HQ tweeted out, Notre Dame quarterbacks have lost 24 consecutive starts. The last to win, of course, is our guy Brady Quinn against the Panthers in 2012. So Ian Book, who are the other quarterbacks between Brady and Ian Book that have been so terrible from Notre Dame?
Jimmy Clausen.
Well, he was before.
Oh, he was before.
He was drafted in 2010, then Cam came 2011, but he was
Kizer.
Deshaun Kizer.
Yeah. But I mean,
Jarius Jackson.
Is that? I mean, how long did he play in the league?
Golson never got starts in the NFL, did he?
I don't think so. I'm just trying to figure out who these 24 quarterbacks are. 24 consecutive starts.
By quarterbacks, though.
It could have been, it was 2012, so it could have been a couple of Brady starts, Deshaun Kizer starts.
I don't think that Clausen played too much. He didn't play after 2011 because that's when they brought Cam in and he just.
I mean, Kizer probably had double digit starts.
So yeah, for mostly, sure. They gave like a basically half a rookie season, right?
So it's mostly
Austin had a bunch with Chicago. Remember the 42 punt game against Seattle?
No. Kizer 0-15.
Oh, there. Okay.
Yeah, it's like
that's definitely the big one.
It's like 4 Brady Quinn starts, 15 DeShone Kizer starts, which gets us to, and then 5 Jimmy Clausen starts.
So that's it, just 3 guys.
Yeah, it's kind of a misleading statistic by your guys.
Jeez. I mean, DeShone Kizer never had a chance. He went to the 2017 Browns team.
It's like old Brady Quinn plus Jimmy Clausen plus DeShone Kizer.
So, yeah, Clausen, he played in 2010, didn't play again until 2014. 2014 and 2015, he was 0-4. So
and the fact that I threw out Jarius Jackson, I don't even know if he's included in this streak, but his career record was 0-1.
There you go. Had to get that there in
go. There. There you go.
Jarius Jackson played before Brady Quinn.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, I guess he could have started in the NFL after Brady, but that would be surprising.
So really things just kind of fell apart after Joe Montana left Notre Dame in the quarterback department.
And as Kevin Clark, our pal, friend of the program, Kevin Clark of The Ringer, pointed out, when Brady Quinn beat the Panthers in week 13 of the 2012 season, Jimmy Clausen was technically on the roster, but Cam Newton was the starter. I think he was on, right? He might not have been on that roster, actually.
2012? Yeah, I don't know if it was by then.
They might have cut him just because he was... Let me look real quick. He doesn't have any stats from that year. Yeah, he was on the Panthers.
Then. That's never good.
It's just really crazy that Notre Dame hasn't produced any, I guess, great QB since Montana. But it's really, if you look around the big schools, what are you looking at me for?
I'm just slapping Brady Quinn in the face.
I mean, Brady Quinn's a great guy. I don't think anyone's calling him an NFL Hall of Famer.
First round pick? Well, no, not an NFL Hall of Famer.
No, that's what I mean. I'm talking about like, where I was going to go with that is that you don't see, for whatever reason, you know, Ohio State, Alabama, you know, we're looking at Tua and Mac Jones this year. We don't know if they're going to have great careers, but Alabama hasn't produced many great quarterbacks over the past 20 or 30 years. Ohio State hasn't produced many great NFL quarterbacks over the past 20, 30 years. So I think it's weird that these great college teams have in the
NC quarterback. State has more NFL quarterbacks than Notre Dame.
Miami of Ohio.
Oh, up high, down hard. Sorry.
So the quarterback success in college at these big schools hasn't translated to NFL success.
That's good. I mean, it's a talent level thing where you're playing with much better. People who get inferior competition, and you can just spread it out more.
Doesn't seem to be impacting Joe Burrow.
There it is.
Yes.
That's why Joe Burrow went to Ohio State and then he couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins.
Oh! Oh! What do I care what he did in college? He's in the NFL now, and he's 9-6 in first place in the AFC North, Brinson.
And about to lose out and miss the playoffs.
Oh, my God. Why would you say that, Wilson?
We had to root against the bank, like root against Joe Burrow just for like
Wilson just on this podcast to will things into existence. Anti-Bengal. It's sickening.
Hey, my last name's not Wilson for nothing.
All right. Dun, 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 dun. Anything else from that? Well, you know, we didn't talk about Miami in that game. That's unfair. So let's.
Really... I just say we talked about Jalen Waddle. I talked about Tua continues to improve. Let me guys ask you this. Based on the way Tua's played this year, and he seems to be getting better. At least incrementally each and every week. If you're Brian Flores, if you're Chris Greer, if you're Stephen Ross, how serious are you floating around the idea of DeShone Watson in the offseason?
I think that as good as DeShone Watson is, the cost of acquiring him, and I said this about the Panthers too, like the Panthers went out and get DeShone Watson and you give up 3 first round picks or, you know, a first round pick and 2 players. I'm just not sure that you're a playoff team. Even with him there.
By the way, the Dolphins' offensive line sucks. So you're going to bring DeShone Watson in and just have him pretend he's playing for the Texans, running for his life.
Well, and now the Dolphins coaches might be like, well, Tua got us to this many wins. And like Brinson's saying, it's a lot to give away to get him. And they might even be saying, hey, you know what? The combination of Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor won as many games this year as DeShone Watson did last year. So there's just all these... And he's not walking into, like you guys just said, with the Dolphins offensive line. It's not like he's going to have a ton of protection. So it's going to be I just don't know how many games the Dolphins are going to win with Watson. That's not to say he's not an upgrade over Tua. That's just the way this team is designed. You know, maybe he's worth 1 more win, 2 more wins than they have right now.
All right, let's put it another way. Would you rather have DeShone Watson and the same cast of characters, or would you rather have Tua – maybe another or 2 offensive linemen or whatever else you need to sort of bolster that team going into next year? And I would rather upgrade the offensive line and continue to see if Tua gets better.
Yeah, and that's the problem is that Tua does seem like he's progressing. He looks better every single week. And so do you want to just throw him to the curb when it takes all of that compensation to acquire DeShone Watson? And man, I mean, it's a tough decision. It is a very tough decision the front office is going to have to make. I wouldn't want to have to make it.
Let me ask you this, because this
what was the question? Would you rather have,
would you rather have Tua and a couple more offensive linemen or and a couple other positions filled through draft or free agency, or would you rather just have Deshaun Watson?
I mean, I think, look, you tank for Tua. You put it, you went all in on Tua. He's only been there 2 years. And my biggest concern with Tua is the arm strength. I think it's possible that develops back or
His arm strength looks a little better. All right, I'll ask this question because this is something that we were talking about all last, and especially me, last draft season. We'll just pick middle-of-the-road team. The Denver Broncos is our go-to. Next year, if you had to have one starter, Tua Tagovailoa or McCorkle Jones?
On the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, just I'm picking my replacement level team.
For those asking, my dog was scratching at the door to get out of my office. I had to run down there and let him out.
Not surprised.
Yeah, George. He's basically the McCorkle Jones of the dog family here. I think just in with I would go Mac Jones because I want the floor.
Yeah. Breach.
My options are Tua or Mac Jones in the Broncos offense.
Your option is either say Tua and don't believe it or get crucified by Tuanon is your choice.
I don't know. I just don't know how Mac Jones is going to look in a non-robotic. Mac Jones landed in the perfect spot for Mac Jones. If you throw him in the Broncos offense, I don't know how he's going to look.
I do. It's called Drew Lock.
Yeah, I think I would probably go Tua.
Mac Jones wouldn't be very good with the Dolphins offense either. Like, credit to them for figuring out a way to make Tua work where you get the ball out quickly. Again, they use Jalen Waddle differently than they, than we expected him to be used. But they have to because their offensive line is not very good. They get the ball out quickly. They get it in Jalen Waddle's hands, let him make plays. He's awesome.
And of course, next week, I could flip flop on the Tua conversation because everything in the NFL changes week to week this season.
Except the Dolphins because they win every week, Wilson.
Except the Dolphins.
I always talk about how the Panthers accelerated their timeline to go get a quarterback because of the market that was available to them. The same sort of thing happened to the Dolphins where they accelerated their Tua timeline to the point where it's at various points in the offseason and during this season, everybody wanted to get rid of it. It's over. It's done. Tua's career is finished. The Tua's been for 18 months.
I think that's Brian Flores' fault for pushing him out there. I don't think anything would have changed in terms of the Tua's development if he hadn't been thrown out there a couple times. They kept pulling him out of the game in the end. I don't know if that makes him feel better about his in terms of his confidence, and they would have made the playoffs with Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm pretty sure. So I like Brian Flores a lot. I disagree with the decision to keep jerking Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick around in terms of who was playing. But he is taking the most of his opportunities this year. So, credit to him.
There is no reason for Miami to move on from Tua this offseason at the expense of multiple first-round draft picks and or high-level players.
I agree.
You have a guy who has won at a high level in college and who has been the center of attention in terms of not like controversy, but just, should he start? Should we ditch him for Deshaun, et cetera, et cetera? Like, give the guy time. The path to being a good quarterback is not the same for everyone. If Justin Herbert was just, if the Chargers doctor hadn't stabbed Tyrod Taylor in the wrong spot, we might not even know that Justin Herbert's as good as he is.
By the way, Debo
ease things on Tua.
Debo said in the chat he's taking the other Bama QB.
Oh, Jalen Hurts.
The one that had a transfer to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He wasn't part of our hypothetical.
You spent a year chasing down Tua Tagovailoa. You got him surprisingly in the draft, despite winning more games than you thought you would. You played him a bunch, but not quite enough. You won 10 games. You just missed the playoffs. You sucked for a little bit, and now you're back to 8-7. Trust the process, I guess, is the mantra here. And that if you thought Tua was the guy 18 months ago or 24 months ago, you shouldn't abandon that hope now. Build up the offensive line. It's sort of like that offensive line could just magically click next year. They have a lot of talent on there. It's just young talent, and it hasn't produced yet.
No, they need to keep drafting offensive linemen. Credit them for drafting as many offensive linemen as they have in the first two rounds, but you got to keep doing it because
– sure. But I'm just saying that, like, the Dolphins are in a good spot now where we're done talking about is Brian Flores going to get fired. I think he was 60 to 1 to win Coach of the Year. If the Dolphins
now or before the season?
Right now.
Oh, yeah. That's a good bet. Right? If you feel have some confidence in them making the playoffs, it's a really good bet.
If the Dolphins make the playoffs and the Patriots, oh boy, that's gonna be expensive for me.
Yeah.
If the Patriots don't make the playoffs, Bill Belichick definitely won't win. At least maybe Zach Taylor could steal it.
Zach Taylor. You keep that ticket, Brinson. Don't lose it.
He'll be the first coach to win Coach of the Year and get fired 2 weeks later.
Well, I think your only chance of Zach Taylor ticket winning is if they beat the Chiefs on Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, even if they make the playoffs, they'll be in the conversation. But if you throw in a Chiefs win, that's when you get to the top of the conversation.
Is Belichick the favorite now?
I think LaFleur is a favorite.
Really?
Does Belichick ever win it? Because they're always good.
Well, his expectations are so every year. So this feels like the year where he could win it. But I think, you know, I don't know if 10 wins. He probably has won his last two games.
LaFleur winning it.
Mike McCarthy, comeback player, coach of the year, and coach of the year. There's not a comeback award, but that would be funny.
I don't think LaFleur wins it if Rodgers is MVP.
Mike McCarthy, I think that's a pretty compelling story.
What about Mike Vrabel? He lost his top player.
That team is just so boring. It's just so hard to get behind.
It's always no, but you got to remember, like, very rarely is it a team that has a win total of 9 or higher that actually the coach wins the award, or the team's a favorite to win the division.
Well, Stefanski won last year.
It's usually a surprise team that gets to the playoffs.
Right, but the Browns weren't like a.
No, I call Stefanski. He was my guy.
I mean, they hadn't been there in so long that.
What about
that
Nick Sirianni then? If you're going with the Brinson method. People have to eat his words.
Nagy in 2018, Sean McVay, his first year on the job in 2017, taking the playoffs, won coach of the year.
So Harbaugh with the Lamar season when it looked like he was going to get fired and flipped it around. I mean, it's that sort of stuff.
Right. So who does it feel like? The Sirianni thing doesn't seem crazy, but I think they'd have to win at least 10 games.
I'd give it to Urban Meyer. They did beat the Bills.
I think Belichick, Zach Taylor...
What about Frank Reich?
I just don't buy that LaFleur is winning it if Rodgers wins MVP.
I don't think you can give it to Frank Reich unless if the Titans win that division, because why wouldn't you vote for Mike Vrabel?
Yeah, I just told you why.
He lost his best player and he saw the team in a spot to...
Yeah, Ryan's argument is that team's boring.
Jason Garrett won in 2016. What a world.
I mean, Matt Nagy won in 2018.
I mean...
Look at this list. It is new coaches... who won a division and exceeded expectations, and or coaches who overcame a significant amount of hardship or difficulty, whether off, you know, whether it's an off-field thing, Arians with the Colts when Pagano got cancer or leukemia, and then Harbaugh when on-field, when he had to go to Lamar because it just wasn't working and they still, you know, roll. Oh, no, I guess Lamar, that was actually 2019 was when he unleashed MVP Lamar. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, and the Browns finished in third place last year.
Yeah. But yep. That was such a...
I made the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, it's finally, they turned... It was a post-Freddie Kitchens.
Every single one of those teams is a playoff team.
And Brinson, two cases here, 2015, 2019, where MVP matches up with Coach of the Year winner.
Yep.
Ooh,
Cam and Lamar.
Well, and with both of those... Neither team was the favorite to win the division, I don't believe. In 2015, it would have been the Saints. In 2019, would have been the Steelers. And both teams in those cases vastly exceeded their win total expectation.
What about Sean McDermott if the Bills went out, win the division? Because they were down. They were the seventh seed for a while. They would have been out of the playoffs had the Bengals not lost that one week, a couple weeks ago, had the Steelers not tied the Lions. They would have been out of the playoffs for a couple weeks.
I think that their win total was too high for it to happen, but I don't hate the idea. I thought Sean McDermott should have deserved love the last 3 years, but didn't.
All right, you have to give
me a
name.
And I will say over the past 10 years, so since 2011, the Coach of the Year has won at least 11 games in each season.
All right, Brinson, give me a name.
Well,
give me a lot of no's. I want to hear a yes.
I mean, I told you Belichick, Zach Taylor, or...
I don't think Belichick's
one. I mean, look, Kingsbury was minus 500 or something like that two or three weeks ago. And now he's just not even in the discussion.
Nor should he be.
Out.
Yeah, Belichick wasn't on the list we saw that Diva just put up from the last 10 years or whatever. So I don't think he's one of it. Zach Taylor, how do you feel about that breach?
I told you, I think if they win out, if they beat the Chiefs and finish 11-6, I think he's one of the top three candidates
If the Bengals win 11 games, Zach, I mean,
with
our boy Colin Bear is getting a parade in downtown.
With a win over the Chiefs, and that's the key here. So I think Zach Taylor goes from a top three or four favorite to the favorite if they finish
11. No, he goes from a top three or four favorite to get fired 3 months ago to the favorite to win Coach of the Year. If they get,
I think at 11-6, I think Zach Taylor has a great shot to win it.
He's the favorite.
If the Bengals win 11 games, Zach Taylor's winning that award.
Right.
He's so it's basically, do you think the Bengals can beat the Chiefs this weekend? Because if you do, that's where you put the Zach Taylor money down.
But back to the original point, I don't think it's crazy that if the Dolphins win out and go 10-7, and obviously they won the division, because they technically could, but. Jeez Louise, that would be nuts. If they win the division, Brian Flores is getting it. But Brian Flores at 60-1 is not a crazy bet because that's the exact sort of narrative that voters would love to give credit for. You're a hyped up team, then you go 1-7, then you rip off, you know, nine straight wins, you finish 10-7, and all of a sudden you close out the season with nine straight wins. You are getting some Coach of the Year love.
And Wilson, you were talking about Belichick not on that list. He actually was the first name off the list that Debo was showing. He won it in 2010, and he's won it three times.
2007, he went undefeated.
Undefeated year, yep. Did not even get to the Super Bowl in 2010, but obviously they vote based on regular season, and they also won it in 2003.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, my God. Dick Duron won it in 2001. How about that?
Amazing.
Got two Bears coaches on this list.
Marvin Lewis won it in 2009.
Marvin Lewis, and then they got stomped in the playoffs. So maybe I don't want Zach Taylor to win it. All right, don't vote for Zach Taylor. Anti-campaign.
Three Bears coaches because Nagy won it above.
Oh, three. Breach, we'll get out on this. Someone asked, I don't know where, the comments, Twitter, somewhere. Better coach, Zach Taylor, Marvin Lewis.
That's
so easy.
Oh! I thought it was just no was the answer.
No, that was Breach knows the answer to this question. I don't even know why he's stammering.
Look. Marvin, turn the team around.
All right, we're not doing this for another minute and a half. It's time to end the podcast. We're not doing this for longer than an hour. Thank you all for watching.
I'll answer another podcast.
You can hear Breach's answer on a separate Bengals-only podcast. All things Bengals.
Per pause.
John Breach. Thanks for watching. See you guys later.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.